las alabanzas, la gloria y el honor y toda bendición. A ti solo, Altísimo, te conviene, y ningún hombre es digno de nombrarte. Alabado seas, mi Señor. Laudate. Especialmente en el Señor, hermano sol, porque nos das el día y nos iluminas. Y es bello y radiante con gran esplendor de ti, Altísimo, lleva significación. Alabado seas, mi Señor, por la hermana luna y las estrellas. En el cielo la formaste claras y preciosas.
Dumelang, Moweni, Sanibunani, Apshweni, Dumela, Khoyamora, good morning. It's Bernie Crewe Brown, and today is the 21st of October, believe it or not. And you are listening to Laudato Si, our journey on caring for our common home on Radio Veritas. This is our weekly program that we have, sharing all aspects of caring for our common home. I invite you to communicate with me and share what you would like to hear, and also to comment on what is going on in the world, which I share. I have been breaking down what took place at the Raising Hope for Climate Justice conference, which took place on the 1st, 2nd and 3rd of October this year. And I will still be referring to it. But I think we covered a lot of the different events, not all of them, but I'm going to take them sporadically through the next few weeks. And each day I'll bring in something on the climate justice side, front, but I will also bring in a cultural something, which mostly is the incredible music, the music advocacy that was used as part of the conference. So, but to begin with right now is prayer, and I'm going to take the part of the conference and share it with you, where all the tears of the world in the form of water from rivers from all over the world was shared together and blessed by Pope Leo XIV.
As Pope Leo's words remind us so beautifully of our faith's call to justice, let us open our hearts in a spirit of prayerful reflection for our common home. Laudato si, mi Signore. Praise be to you, my Lord. In the words of this beautiful canticle, St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share our life, and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us. The urgent challenge to protect our common home includes a concern that brings together the whole family, the whole human family, to seek a sustainable and integral human development, for we know that things can change.
Laudato Si calls us to listen to the cry of the earth and the cry of the poor. We now invite representatives from those most impacted by the ecological crisis to come forward. Each representative carries a vessel of water from their homeland. We invite them to pour this water into this bowl of tears, symbolizing a shared body of water, humanity's common home, and our shared interdependence with creation and with one another. We read from St. Francis' Canticle of the Creatures. Praise be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, who is very useful and humble, precious and pure.
Dercia Bello comes from the small nation of Timor-Leste. She is bringing forward the voices and the cries of vulnerable people from her country and beyond. Flossie Donnelly comes from Dublin, Ireland. She is bringing forward the voices and the cries of young people from all around the world and from the future generations yet to come. Kasik Odier Dada Borari is a leader of the Nuevo Luga community of the Borari people from the Mauro Indigenous Territory in present-day Pará, Brazil. He is bringing forward the cry of Indigenous peoples all around the world.
Sister Constance Chanda Nsofwa is a Salesian sister of Don Bosco from Zambia. She brings forward the cry of wildlife ecosystems. Yeah. Musamba Mungamba from Caritas Internationalis represents the cry of migrants weaving stories of displacement and belonging into a call for change. Yeah. Monsignor Gustavo Rodriguez Vega from Mexico represents the cry of our moral leaders, particularly those who raise their voices for the protection of our common home. And this piece of ice from a glacier in Greenland represents the cry of the earth.
Creation awaits our transformation, our ecological conversion. We move now from tears to hope. We invoke the call of prophets, those who speak out, calling forth for change, a change of heart. The prophet Isaiah says, "The palace will be forsaken until a spirit from on high is poured out on us, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field." I would now like to invite you to stand for the blessing of the waters.
Lord of life, bless this water. May it awaken our hearts cleanse our indifference, soothe our grief, and renew our hope through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, bless this assembly, this conference. May the dialogue we engage in contain respect for all gathered here and the entire earth community. May we work towards a flourishing of all creation, held in being by our Creator, through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Creation awaits our conversion. We commit to raising hope and to continuing to unfold a river of hope. We move from tears to hope, from grief to action. Let us speak our pledges. Each help us to unfold this river of hope. After each pledge, we invite you to sing the refrain, Laudate si, mi Signor, con tutte le tue creature. These words from St. Francis' Canticle of the Creatures mean, Praise be you, my Lord, with all your creatures.
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature.
We will raise hope by amplifying the voices of youth and grassroots communities. Will you join us?
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Laudato si, mi Signore,
raise hope by demanding that leaders act with courage, not delay. Will you join with us?
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature.
We will raise hope by standing with communities most at risk. Will you join us?
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature.
We will raise hope by opening spaces for dialogue, creative energy, and solutions that we haven't yet dreamed of. Will you join us?
Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature. Laudato si, mi Signore, con tutte le tue creature.
May these voices of hope rise as one. May they echo beyond this gathering and into every corner of the earth. Amen. 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 Amen.
May these voices of hope enter into every corner of the earth. So the tears of the poor, the tears of the earth, returned back to every corner of the earth, raising hope for climate justice. Thank you, Your Holiness, Pope Leo. It was wonderful to be present and be in that moment with you. And now to be in the position where I can share that moment with everybody listening today. And that you can in turn go to the YouTube link and play the same thing to your families and to your communities. So we spread this raising hope for climate justice. Knowing, however, that there's a lot of work still to be done. Knowing that we need to chart bold pathways. I related back to my fun experience of the pilgrimage to the Raising Hope Conference, the amazing race, where I was given a mandate, a task, and if I didn't meet that task, I would be jeopardized, i.e., if you cannot get to the boarding gates of your the flight that you are on, you're going to be left behind. And that happened to me, but I did my best. And to be linked with a stranger doing her best, I haven't heard from her, and I'm hoping that she did catch her flight. And as you know, for me, it turned out a blessing that I missed the flight. But let's come back to this. Our life is an amazing race. We have goals to meet. And if we meet those goals, we will be rewarded. Not only will we be rewarded, but future generations will be rewarded. So I spoke about you being in the amazing race, but I also want to speak to you about being like bees. Let's take it that the big pot of honey was taken out of a hive at the conference. The 10 years of bees working together, bringing, pollinating plants and bringing pollen to the hives, to become, bringing nectar to the hives to become honey. And this huge pot of honey has been taken out of the hive to energize the rest of us so that we can chart bold pathways in our action going forward. So I would like at this point to bring back what is happening now within our church and the new objective, the new goal, the new milestone that we intend to achieve through the people personal determined contribution of every person on earth that links with the nationally determined contributions from each country, making our voices heard, making this beehive very large. And what we need to look at to help us is the connection to our faith, our life of faith. And dear Pope Francis's last encyclical, Dilexit Nos, telling us that our heart rules our lives. God our Father speaks to our heart, telling us to return to our heart. So to speak to our heart with hope, for hope, to bring our mind and our hands together, guided by our heart. Bring the vision we have clear to us, that it is with our heart that we are looking at life. It is with our heart that we are living moments, that we are living everything that we do. And Alexis Noss, again, as I said, expresses that our heart rules our lives. And going to our heart and then coming out of our heart every time. And that was the similar sayings of the gaze of Jesus. So to look with your heart, and your heart, God is in your heart, at your neighbor, at the issues at hand, at the plastic container that has your tomatoes in it. Look with the heart, your heart, which is God's eyes. Yeah, so it's a hard one, but it's important. Talking from our heart gives us passion. And once we have that passion, we will be energized to meet the need in front of us. And right now, the need is raising hope and taking hope to all corners of the earth. And as soon as you feel you're getting lost, individualism is coming in and humanism, when you're feeling it, as I said, there were times on this trip when I felt if I'd fallen over, everybody would have stepped over me. This was not at the conference. This was in the queues where everybody was in a hurry to get somewhere. I felt totally on my own. And this is the new humanism at play in the world, where we come first and convenience and quick action must meet everything that goes on in our lives. There is much work to be done for all humans and all species on earth. We don't need to be seen waiting for and being hopeful, but just passive. We need to be bold and make a difference to determine and bring about peace, to deter the potential wrongdoers, to show strength and commitment to stay the pace. And this commitment must help us too to bring everybody together, to join hands and work together. So there are many ways we can do this. First is to just gather your families together, or yourself together and your families. And once you have that, share this rich conference. Everything is online for you. Sit back with friends and watch what you've just heard, this incredibly strong, prayerful reflection and dedication with blessings of hope being the outcome of all sadness and destruction, and that hope is found. Hope is an interesting word. Hope is a verb, a doing word, not a passive word. We need to go out there with hope, embrace ourselves with hope as we join hands, as we start attending to the issues of climate destruction, of the climate crisis in our lives. We look at, as I said, how we purchase, what we purchase, when we purchase, how much we purchase, and what control have we got in the companies that own the shop where we purchase. And if we actually know that they are pro-fossil fuel, we should walk away. We can all walk away from a shop and find another. We can always look and find out about action taking place, companies that are working towards a sustainable future, a net zero for 2050. We need to look at companies that have already embraced renewable energy for the function of their business, everything that happens in their business. If we can find out how they invest their funds, our churches, discuss this with your priest, because every priest knows. The issue I get told about in South Africa is that we are beholden unto people for the work that we need. There is a lot of investment in our church, and probably some of it is from banks that need to be to address their involvement with fossil fuel companies in oil and gas, especially, and the coal. And so the church feels they can't step away. But at least try and make your voice heard. This is important. And this is the action that came out from on day two in the morning. Lorna Gold spoke about what we need to do, our goal going forward, that we need to make this commitment, this pledge, and we need to stick to the pledge that we make. This people's determined contribution, knowing that you, your family, your communities, your church out there, all other people, like-minded people in your country are doing the same as you, will hopefully help you to get more people involved. And this is one way. And then use this commitment to build a plan for your life. And again, for all the areas in your life, the organizations, the institutes, the churches, that you all plan going forward how you are going to reduce your footprint, your carbon footprint, in all ways, and how you're going to measure it and put a benchmark measurement up front now that is returned to year on year, and imagine where it will be after 7 years. And by you doing it and being an example to others, a critical mass will be met. And that critical mass will make that big difference for definite. At the moment, the heat used on the planet is 1.5 above industrial times. It's higher than that. We're trying to get it to zero. But if we don't do something now, it will go up. Creep up to 2. Some people say it is already 2 and 3. And that is opposite to net zero. And we know the scientists have proved that if it's not at net zero by 2050, the world will be in a dire state. And remember, it'll be in this dire state for humanity. Nature will survive. Nature will survive. Maybe not all animals and birds or insects or some plants, but the seed will remain to continue life on Earth, created species, the natural life. It's a frightening forethought, but it is an important discussion, and to know that it's all in our hands. And as we are coming up now with COP30, which takes place from the 10th to the 21st of November in Brazil, and the dear Honorable Marina Silva from Brazil and who the leaders in Brazil, and especially the activists and environmentalists, ecologists, faith leaders, that are all working so hard toward a COP where everybody is heard. And that is where this personal determined contribution will be counting. Because the more we have present, the more pledges we have present at COP30, the more the leaders will have to notice. And then that takes us straight into the G20. Have you looked into that? It's happening on the 22nd and the 23rd of November. Have you had your say? I will link further areas on Facebook and on Instagram and through the WhatsApp groups to help you to have your say there as well. Oh, there is so much. But we are so blessed to have Pope Leo walking the talk with us. He's there. He's building bridges. He's crossing bridges. He's extending a hand to us to cross the bridge with him. That is why he was at the conference, shaking hands with everybody around him. Unfortunately, I wasn't near enough to shake his hand. But I still have hope, and I'm not going to be passive about my hope that maybe there'll be another turn for me. And I think we should all have that attitude. I've also expressed a deep request to the Laudato Si movement that when we have another global event, to please link with us in a stronger way so that we can, as a group, attend these events, delegations, conferences, so that we can have a sense of being stronger than just listening, just talking the walk, but actually physically being part of it and taking it back, bringing it home. That is what we need. So with the fact that we're looking towards our heart to give us the strength, listen now to Michael W. Smith. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Material, give you reason, and you know reason is hope. I'm going to share one of the most powerful presentations from our own South African, Kumi Naidu. He is now the president of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty. And as you know, that is a human rights and environmental justice activist group. He was a former leader of Amnesty International, and before that, Greenpeace. And we know he was part of the anti-apartheid fight for this new democracy we have in our country. He is known for advocating for a new global plan and the end of the expansion of fossil fuels, accelerating a fair and rapid just transition, or fair just, to renewable energy. So definitely somebody that will help you and strengthen your resolve, help you to become that worker bee with hope, help you to make your personal determined contribution and put it on the Raising Hope for Climate Justice, raisinghope.earth website, and getting your friends to do the same, and committing not just for this year, but for the years going forward with the Laudato Si action platform. I give you our own Kumi Naidoo.
So at this time, we're honored to welcome a leader whose voice has helped shape the global climate justice movement for decades. Mr. Kumi Naidoo, president of the Fossil Fuel Non-Proliferation Treaty, has spent a lifetime challenging injustice, from his early activism in South Africa to global leadership in Greenpeace and Amnesty International. Please join us in warmly welcoming Mr. Kumi Naidoo.
Eminences, Excellencies, friends, sisters, brothers, and comrades in hope, let me confess I'm very nervous. And this can best be captured through the story. Speaking to an American audience some years ago, at the end of my speech, a person put up a hand and said, "Dr. Naidoo, have you heard of Martin Luther King?" And I said, "Yes, he inspired me and many people in my country, South Africa." And then she said, "Do you know what his most famous speech was called?" Thinking it was a trick question, I answered very gently. I said, "I have a dream." And she shouted back, "Yes, it was I have a dream. When I hear you speak, it sounds like you have a nightmare. The forests are disappearing, the oceans are rising, inequality is on the rise, and so on." Therein lies the challenge that we face at this moment. How do we speak truth to power on the one hand and not sanitize how deep a crisis humanity finds itself in? But how can we do it also in a way that motivates, inspires, and encourages people to want to get involved to deal with the biggest problem that humanity has ever faced? Today, we pay tribute to all those who supported Pope Francis when he gave us the prophetic gift of Laudato Si 10 years ago. We also welcome the commitment just expressed by Pope Leo to continue along that path. As we gather here at the Raising Hope Conference, the words of Archbishop Desmond Tutu ring loudly. "I'm not an optimist," he said. "I'm a prisoner of hope." If ever there was a time we needed hope, not naive or passive hope, but courageous, disciplined, and determined hope, it is now. And hope, if it is to mean anything, must be wedded to urgency. Let us not sugarcoat the reality we find ourselves in. Just as recently as 10 years ago, few of us imagined we would be here, facing authoritarianism on the rise, immigrants demonized, the rule of law under assault, brutal wars from Sudan to Ukraine, a horrific genocide in Gaza and in Palestine, and some powerful world leaders denying the science of climate change. 86% of the cause of climate change is driven by fossil fuels, 86%. Yet more than three decades, we have been standing in a flooding room, mopping the floor instead of turning off the tap. Worse, some governments and corporations are selling us super absorbent mops and calling it climate action. No, please don't clap. I only got a few minutes. The moment is frightening, but also full of possibility. Pessimism, my dear brothers and sisters, is a luxury at this moment of history we simply cannot afford. And the pessimism that justifiably emerges from our analysis, our lived experiences, and our observations can, must, and should be responded to by the optimism of our thought, our creativity, our action, our courage, and our sense of humanity. As Pope Francis reminded us, humanity still has the ability to work together in building our common home. Yes, our home is in disrepair, but we have the wisdom and faith to repair it if we act with urgency and unity. Let us be clear. The planet does not need saving. Let me say that one more time. The planet does not need saving. If we continue on this path, humanity will destroy itself. And the end result would be, once we become extinct as a species, the forests will recover, the oceans will replenish, and so on. So let us be very clear that the struggle that we engage in here is about protecting humanity's ability to survive on this planet. This fight is for our neighbors in vulnerable countries, particularly small island states, and that is why we see today the most powerful voices are coming from the Pacific, in the Caribbean, from vulnerable small island states who are already facing the impacts of climate change. As Mary Robinson reminds us, though, that this fight is about protecting the rights of our children and grandchildren. She said, "We can't let our children and grandchildren look back on this critical period of history and say to us, 'How did you fail us?' when the signs were so clear." After a super typhoon devastated Philippines a few years ago, Catholic parishes and Muslim mosques joined forces to rebuild homes and plant mangroves. Those mangroves today now protect entire villages from storm surges. That is Laudato Si in action. Faith communities setting aside whatever differences that they might have to heal creation and raise hope. If they can do this in the face of tragedy, what excuse do we have to delay action any further? Faith calls us inward to hope and love, and outward to care for creation and stand with the vulnerable. But fragmented efforts are not enough. We urgently need a united planetary response and movement. The forces of denial are well-resourced and control much of the traditional media, social media, and now AI. Our movements must rise up and courageously meet this challenge. The Catholic community, through Laudato Si, has shown courage and now joined by many other faiths, but this must extend to all people, including those who might not embrace a particular faith. What unites us is far greater than what divides us. I want to now speak directly to foundations and donors. At a time when some funders are being told not to support civil society because climate change is a con job, is a hoax, you must push back. To put institutional survival above principle and purpose is not philanthropy, but it is foolanthropy. Please don't clap. Time is of essence. If we want to unleash the full power of humanity for climate justice, we must resource faith, culture, and art. Too often, philanthropy only speaks to the head. Now is the time to speak to the heart, through those whose messages reach the majority of our planet's people. 88%, this statistic might shock some of you, 88% of the world's population lives in the global south. 88%, and by the way, both ChatGPT and DeepSeek both agree on this number. These frontline communities, though least responsible, are paying the highest price and yet they are also leading with the solutions, just as my brother from DRC just responded to all the examples of what people are doing on the ground. If our movements are to be truly global, they must not simply be enabled to participate more integrally. They must be created the space to lead our movements as well. Support them, learn from them, fund them. Philanthropic resources must be deployed in larger amounts and with greater urgency. And when people ask me, what about jobs? I reply, as many in the trade union movement today reply, when we say, there are no jobs on a dead planet. There are no jobs on a dead planet. There are no human rights on a dead planet, because there won't be any human beings on a dead planet. Try explaining economic growth to a farmer whose fields have turned to dust, or to a worker whose factory has been swept away by floods. Clinging to fossil fuels will not protect livelihoods. It will most certainly destroy them. However, here's some optimism. Just as the world came together to ban land mines, to curb nuclear proliferation, nuclear weapons proliferation, and to phase out ozone-depleting chemicals, we must now confront the deadliest poisons of our time: coal, oil, and gas. For decades, the climate negotiations, the COPs, we have gone there pleading for a fab deal. Not a fabulous deal, but a fair, ambitious, and binding deal. But year in, year out, as my friend Yeb Sano can tell you, because we've walked that struggle together, what we get are flab deals, F-L-A-B. I'm not talking about overweight here now. Flab stands for full of loopholes, and you can decide what the B stands for. But there is hope. Nations with the fewest resources are showing the greatest courage. I want to today honor those leading the way, and those countries that have taken the leadership and said, the only way we get out of this mess is to complement the COP process by working to get a fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty agreed. And yeah, I want to, that one there, I allowed you to clap. And yeah, I want to name the countries that have taken the lead. Vanuatu, Tuvalu, and yeah, if you don't mind, I would just ask you to join me in an applause for Minister Maina from the Tuvalu, who is with us and is providing leadership to the rest of the world. Fiji, Kiribati, Papua New Guinea, Niue, Tonga, Solomon Islands, Antigua and Barbuda, Palau, Samoa, Nauru, Marshall Islands, the Bahamas, St. Kitts and Nevis, and importantly, three fossil fuel exporting countries: Timor-Leste, Pakistan, and Colombia. These governments are championing this, and Colombia has just called now at the UN General Assembly for an international diplomatic conference for the phase out of fossil fuels next April, to accelerate and start the negotiation process towards the treaty. With collective pressure, we can reach the critical mass of governments needed to force global action, just as we did with landmines. The landmine treaty was negotiated by 44 countries outside of the UN system. Once the treaty was agreed, then it was brought within the UN General Assembly and was voted. And that's the pathway we are seeking to follow, starting in a formal way in April. Friends, hope is not passive. Hope is a verb. Hope is resilience. Hope is ambition. The fossil fuel treaty is not a silver bullet, but is a concrete step to turn off the tap at the source. It offers us a pathway to a just transition that is fast, fair, and funded. And every one of us has a role. Policymakers, activists, artists, donors, faith leaders, progressive business leaders, civil society activists, and ordinary citizens of our common home. Let us rise together. Let us resist denial, lies, and disinformation. Let us realize the promise of Laudato Si by building a just and inclusive future, one where Indigenous people's wisdom is respected and where Indigenous rights are upheld, where gender justice is realized, and where our children are safe. Let us embrace artivism and harness the power of arts and culture, for one day our children will ask, when the moment of truth came, did we turn off the tap or did we keep mopping until the flood swept us all away? As Martin Luther King Jr. said in 1965 when I was 4 months old, there are certain things in our world that are so unjust and immoral that good, decent people should refuse to adjust to. He said he never intended to adjust to racial discrimination, religious bigotry, as well as to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few when millions of God's children are smothering in an airtight cage of poverty in an affluent society. If that was a problem in 1965, dear brothers and sisters, it has got 1,000 times more worse in terms of inequality and economic injustice. So I say to all of you as I conclude, be proud to be creatively maladjusted. Do not adjust to a status quo that is unjust, immoral, and brutal for the vast majority of people in our common home. And in particular, let us not adjust to the economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. That is the worst injustice that we have become far too adjusted to. So I want to end with two quick things. Quoting what is often said that Gandhi said, and Gandhi did say it, but the first person that actually said it was a labor organizer in the United States. And he said this: first, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then they fight you. And then you win. The good news is they are not ignoring us. They're not laughing at us. They're fighting us really hard. And if Gandhi and the trade union leader was correct, let's hope we are just one step away from turning things around and winning a fight that we have to win for our children and their children's futures. So I want to end with asking you a question. Where do your ancestors come from? And go as far back as you can and just shout it out. Okay, so let's go even further back than that. Wait, now well, this is confusing for me. There's some white people here saying Africa. Okay, so just shout out why. Oh, because it's true. Okay, so it's beyond any doubt that humanity started on the African continent, from the Rift Valley, from Kenya to Ethiopia. And as, you know, people moved through canoes and so on throughout the world, humanity spread. And I really want to say really sorry to those of you who lost all your color along the way. Apologies for that. So then, given that all of us, our ancestors start in Africa, whether we're comfortable with that or not, I'm sure most of us here are comfortable. And let us remember our shared roots. No matter where we live today, humanity began in Africa. This is where the human story starts. So in conclusion, I would like to invite you to rise and sing with us and to join the song, which just has two words in it. Pambili Africa, which means forward with Africa. And given that all of us are from the African continent in terms of where our ancestors come from, this song is forward with all of humanity. I spoke so much, I didn't have any water. I don't know whether I can even get the words out now. But lucky I got this wonderful backup of This Is Our Home folks here with us. Pambili, 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 Africa.
As usual, I'm running out of time. And as usual, I am not finishing as much as deeply as I would like to, with a good reflection over the whole program. But what you just heard from Kumi Naidoo, and in his own words, you know how to get Ladatwa C into action. You've heard enough just in my program today, never mind the 5 years I've been giving it to you. Never mind what else is out there, and it is growing. And I would like to even mention at this stage the webinar, the round table that took place on the 2nd of October. And here on Radio Veritas, there are so many places for you to know that passivity, waiting for hope to happen, is not the way to go. I thank you for listening. God bless.